We'll begin. I invite you to hear the words of Jesus, John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has, notice the present tense, has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Let's understand that incredible statement using one-word concepts that focus on the two main terms, death and life. We start with death, which can be defined as separation. When the soul leaves the body, that's the point of physical death. Separation has occurred. Life is the opposite idea, a constant union of two things or persons. So in the instance of physical life, the soul's inside the body of the person, making him physically alive. Of course, Jesus was talking about the spiritual, and he had us in mind as well. In our former state of unbelief, we used to be spiritually dead. Here the separation would be that we were separate from God because of our sin. We were not spiritually united with him at all until the day he became our Father through the act of conversion. When God gave us our faith in Christ, dramatic changes took place. Spiritual death gave way to spiritual life, all the result of God implanting our faith within the heart. Our ignorance of God was replaced with knowledge, for we have come to know him according to his true identity. We know not only his name, who he is, but also what he has done for us. More than that, we know him on a personal level. Not just as the one true God, but as our God, your Lord, your protector and provider, your Savior, your Father. Through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, God is claiming you and me as sons and daughters with whom we have a relationship that is supposed to last forever. Well, by the Lord's own definition, that's eternal life. It's something we experience now in ways that are parallel to a family dynamic at home with parents and children in the house. For example, you pray to your Heavenly Father. That's a lively thing. You interact with him. There's communication going on. The essence of our spiritual life, really. At his invitation, you come to him with your confession of sins, your plea for his grace, and all of your other requests. You're talking to him. He's listening to you and responding like a father would. That's eternal life for you and me. If we turn the line of communication around the other way, it's the same thing. God leads you to hear his word. He's talking, you're listening, as he takes you by the hand down the safe path like a father would do for his child. That's eternal life for you and me. I want to focus on the heartbeat of this spiritual form of eternal life. It's the forgiveness of sins. Your faith connection with God continues because of the assurance that even though you have rebelled against your Father yet again, he doesn't disown you. He doesn't kick us out of his family. He doesn't end the relationship that he started, mainly because he has taken that sin recently committed along with all the others. He has put them on Jesus and removed them from his sight through his blood. No more conflict, no more breach between him and us. Now that, I hope you see, is an everyday thing, how your life with God is going on, and it can be called, as Jesus does, eternal life. At the same time, we know of passages that point to our future in heaven as the usual concept of eternal life. Both things are true. They're not contradictory. There's actually a harmony here. We can think of that future in heaven as the final, permanent, glorious upgrading of what we have already. The fact that you're adopted into God's family, treated by Him as His dear children, that He has made a real connection with you. None of that stops being true on the last day, but rather goes through an improvement like no other. Infinitely better, because perfection takes over. Right now, you interact with God invisibly. You don't see Him face to face, because our sinfulness won't allow something like that, not without fear and judgment going on. So God stays out of sight and yet has a relationship with you in this corrupt environment. It is eternal life, but we can't enjoy it fully because our sinful nature is clinging to us and the devil keeps harassing us. But when the heavenly upgrade happens, we see God as He is in that perfect place where perfection dominates, even to the point of you and me having perfect heart, mind, body, and soul as a result of the resurrection that the Lord promised. It is truly something to long for and expect based on His promise, something to value highly and thank God for giving. Eternal life now, eternal life forever, all of it as a free gift. Well, let's qualify that. Free for us. Very expensive for Him. Because of the payment Jesus made on the cross, our life with God is also life for God, fitting this description in 2 Corinthians 5. The love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live, live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Amen. Let us close singing hymn 355.